One of the phrases that stood out to me, I think it was the second song, was God, he saves the undeserving, right, by his name, or something goes something like that. And I was like, that really matches what we're going to talk about today. Really glad that you guys could make it. It's good to see. I think we have some new faces, so that's awesome. Last time, I asked you guys to ask yourself what you want from Jesus. So this was about like 2 weeks ago. You know, when you became a Christian, or when you maybe were thinking about becoming a Christian, or maybe you're wondering what is a Christian, like what expectations did you have of Jesus? Yeah. Was it that Jesus, he would make all your problems go away? Right? Was it for Jesus to make you happy all the time? Was it for Jesus to make your wishes come true, for help you reach your goals and your dreams? Like, what was it? Right? What do you want from Jesus? And one way to help you think about what you wanted was to think about the disappointments that you had in Jesus. Right? Like, you prayed to God, and you're like, God, help me get a scholarship or something. All right, I go to church. I help at church. Help me get a scholarship. Maybe you didn't or something. Maybe you prayed to God, help me get a pay raise, a promotion, something like that. But maybe it didn't happen. Maybe you prayed, God, help my grandma's back pain go away. Right? But maybe you did or didn't. And then we might blame God based on the results, right? So what is it that you want from God? What are your expectations? And when you don't get it, you might feel disappointed, right? But are you looking at the reason why Jesus came, right? You're looking at the real reason why Jesus came. So if we look, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If you have your phones or something, Luke chapter 4. I'm just going to read a verse, something that we covered previously. I'm just going over a verse from Luke chapter 4. I didn't put it up there, though, so you guys have to turn there. So it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, it says, "But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Right? And then 44, "He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea." So that's why he came. Right? That's why he came. He came to preach the good news that God's kingdom was here. Right? A kingdom in which sin and evil is no more, and people can be in restored relationship with their Creator. Right? The way everything was meant to be in the beginning, right, before the fall of Adam and Eve. So yeah, even though this good news, it was preached to the Jews, right, they rejected him. Right? They obviously wanted other things from him. They wanted to use him for their amusement. Like, hey, Jesus, do some miracles, do some cool stuff so we can see it, right? Things that you did in other towns as well. Or, Jesus, just be our miracle worker. Don't leave. Just stay in our area and just keep healing people, our sicknesses and whatnot. Right? That's what they wanted him for, not for the actual reason why he came. So he said, I can't stay. I got to go tell other people about this great news. So today we're going to read a really cool story about Jesus. He's calling his first followers. He's calling his first followers to come and follow him. So behind me here, I have this title here. It says, Christian, Disciple, or Follower. Right, if I were to ask you which one of these ones you were, okay, either Christian or Disciple or Follower, which one would you say you are? Which one would you say you are? I don't know. What do you think, Elder Jerry? Wait, if you were to choose, what would you choose? Right. Okay, so think about that for a bit. Think about that for a bit, right? So in this day and age, when we hear about followers, we think about followers on social media, right? We got followers on Twitter, we got followers on Instagram, other places, and these are people that you support, that you follow because you like their content. You know, maybe they like their pictures or their videos, or maybe they have like a really inspirational quote of the day or whatever, right? So you follow that. But they didn't have social media during this time, right? So Luke, he couldn't be talking about that. So what could he be talking about? Okay, followers. Let's read our passage today. It's in Luke chapter 5. So Luke chapter 5, I'm just going to read it. I didn't put it up there. Okay, so Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Okay, I'm just going to read that. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. All right, so when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So one day, right, remember this is before Jesus went to heal Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick, remember. This is before that. Jesus was doing his thing. He was preaching in Galilee about the good news of the kingdom of God. He was teaching in the synagogues. And, this time he's at the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also commonly called the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret was a heavily populated area. It was. I have a map over here. So here's, this is Galilee, right? This whole area here. Here's Gennesaret. It's right on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And then here's Capernaum, where, Jesus, he taught in the synagogue there. We have a story about that, right? And then Jesus, he grew up in Nazareth. So this is, his stomping ground, even though it's more commonly known as the Sea of Galilee, but because it was this town was near here, it was also known as, the Lake of Gennesaret. So, on this particular day, people crowded around Jesus, by the shores, and they wanted to hear him speak about the Word of God. And because there were so many people, they were all crowding him. He didn't have, space and stuff like that. So, he was looking around, and he was like, "Oh, there's some fishermen with their boats. Let me just get into one of the boats and get some distance from the shore," because thinking about, the people aren't going to like follow him into the water, right? So might get some space. So it says that, verse 3, it says that Jesus, he went over and he was like, "Hey, Simon, could I, get in your boat and let's push off a little way." When I read this, I was a little shocked because I was thinking like, hey, if I just went into like a random person's car, in the parking lot, and was like, "Hey, could you drop me off, somewhere?" It might be really awkward, right? I've done that by accident before. I've gotten into someone's car, and he was like really shocked, like, "Why am I in his car?" I thought he was in my car, so I was like, "Why are you in my car?" So that's happened before. But I think it's not that awkward. It's not that weird because, if you think about it this way, let's say Justin Bieber, okay, he walks into our church. And he's like, "Hey, I lost my phone. Can I borrow someone's phone to make a phone call?" Or something like that. You might be like, "Oh yeah, use my phone. Man, Justin Bieber touched my phone. He used my phone. I could sell it on eBay for like $50,000 or something." Okay, so and you're like, "Yeah, use my phone," right? It's because he's famous. Jesus, he's this famous guy. So when he's just like using someone's stuff, like people are like, "Oh yeah, use it. Don't worry about it." So when Simon does that, as what Jesus requested, Jesus, he sits down, just like when he's in the synagogue. He sits down before he's about to teach. That's what they usually did. And then he teaches, right? He teaches, and then time passes, fast forward. He tells Simon, hey, let's go into deep waters over there. Let's go over. And then, Simon, he obeys, and then this is where it gets kind of interesting, okay? So follow along with me. This is where it gets really interesting. Simon and his buddies, they're fishermen, right? They worked hard all night. They know that this is the time where it's the best time for them to fish. Right? And they've been working hard all night, and they didn't get anything. Okay? They didn't get anything. And now, because they caught nothing, they have nothing to sell. So they can't, they're trying to make a living, but they got nothing to sell. They caught nothing. And then Jesus, he comes along and he's like, hey, listen to me. Just go out to deep waters and put down your nets. So I'm going to show you a picture of, this is the lake. This is a lake, right? If you're from Gennesaret and you're looking into the Lake of Galilee, this is what it looks like from one point. And then this is kind of what it looked like, okay? So this is a net, and there are some weights on the edges, and then they throw it, and when they pull it, like the just the weights, they close, and then they get the fish. So this is what it looks like. So I say, go out and throw your nets out. And then Simon's like, hey, master. Okay, master is this word that's used to address superior people, right? People who maybe have some recognition or power or something like that. Says, hey, we put in effort, but we didn't get anything. But if you're willing, but if you're telling us to do so, then all right, we'll be willing to do so. But only because you said so, right? Only because you said so. You're this famous guy. You're this, All right, we'll do it. You see, Jesus, he was a carpenter boy, right? He grew up learning carpentry from his father. He wasn't a fisherman, right? But now he's telling a fisherman how to do his job, right? Simon and his buddies, they've probably been fishing for their whole life. Okay. They really know what they're doing, right? They learn from their dad. So it's not really clear at this point how Simon he's feeling, in a sense. Like, you don't know if he's like, oh, like he's really humble, like, oh yes, Jesus. Man, I respect you so much. You're right. I'm gonna listen to you. Or maybe Simon's like, well, I just can't wait to prove you wrong, Jesus, that you can't catch fish right now, and we worked so hard last night. So, we're not sure. Let's wait and see. All right. So in verse 6 to 7, look at verse 6 to 7. All right, it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. All right. The nets began to break. And that's pretty incredible. That's probably the largest catch that they've ever had, okay, where their nets are beginning to break. So then Simon, he calls over his partners. Later we'll find out that it's James and John. Right? Calls them over and like, hey, you got to help us out. Our nets are breaking. We're going to lose this catch. And then they come over, they help, pull it into the boat. And then their boat starts to sink, right? Because the weight is so much. It starts to sink. And that's probably unusual as well. Their boats aren't made to sink, right? Boats are made to float. So that's they probably weren't expecting such a large catch either. Okay. So we're thinking, okay, well, these boats, they're probably really small then, right? They couldn't have caught that much, right? So these boats must be really small. But there's been some archaeological digs. And then they've dig up boats which are actually like over 20 feet long, okay? Over 20 feet long, that's pretty long. That might be like this pew right here. And then it's like over 5 feet wide. So that's a pretty big boat, right, if you're filling up with fish. So don't think it was like a small catch. And then look at verse 8. Okay. Aboard a sinking boat, Simon doesn't tell his buddies, hey, no, we got to work now. We got to row to shore, row to shore. Like as we're sinking, get to shore, right? No, he's not like that. It says here, Simon, he goes over to Jesus, and he falls right in front of Jesus, right in front of Jesus' knees. He falls at the feet of Jesus, and he says to Jesus, like, leave me, go away from me. Leave me. Why does he say that? Why does he say that? I'm like, where is Jesus supposed to go right now? Right? He's in a sinking boat in the middle of a lake. Where is he supposed to go? Right? But Simon says, leave me. So it probably means, you know, after they get to shore, Jesus, just go. Just go. Why though? Why? If you read in verse 8, you know, the second part, it says, Lord, and I go away from you, Lord. I am a sinful man. Right? I am a sinful man. So that's kind of interesting, right? And why would he say that at this point? Why would he say that he's a sinful man at this point? Like, what does that have to do with anything that we've been talking about? It's because he comes to a realization of who he is, right? In his encounter with Jesus, right? The way that he's been responding, his thoughts, his actions, that he's a sinful man, right? Maybe he's thinking, no, who is Jesus to tell me what to do with my life, right? Who is Jesus to tell me how to do my job? Maybe he thinks he's better than me. But after witnessing this miracle, Simon, he senses his own unworthiness. His own unworthiness. That he's undeserving to have Jesus here with him. Like we were singing about the song that says, you know, Jesus' name, you know, like saves the undeserving, right? Like this is what's happening here. This is what's happening here. You see, Simon, he was okay with letting Jesus borrow his boat for preaching. He was okay with that, right? He's like, you know, Jesus, you're famous. You want to use my boat? Sure, I'll lend it to you. Cool. I like you. I'm a fan of yours. But the moment Jesus, he starts, you know, interfering with his life, right, his livelihood, you know, his possessions, you know, that's when Simon, he had a problem, right? You can borrow my stuff, but don't tell me how to use my stuff, right? Don't tell me what to do. Remember the Jews, they didn't want Jesus to leave them, right? Because they wanted him for their purpose. You know, Jesus was their genie in a bottle. He was their vending machine. They all wanted something from Jesus, right? Jesus, he did fulfill some of those desires, right? We saw that he did heal the sick, right? He did exorcise people, but he did more than that. And he came to do more than that. And if we read on, we'll see that Jesus, he came to make followers. He came to make followers. And what I mean by follower is not like social media, right? Like Twitter and Instagram, right? Where you can just, you know, you're scrolling and then whatnot, you just tap unfollow or you tap follow, right? It's so easy, right? Like anyone can do that. You know, just like, I like your stuff today, or man, your content is going downhill, unfollow, right? Something, someone's better now, right? And then you move on. You like what you see, you stay. You don't like, you move on. Right. So imagine, okay, you know, Justin Bieber, he finishes that phone call, and then you're super excited, and then after that, he still holds your phone, and then he starts going through your Snapchat, right? Going through your Snapchat, he's going through your messages, and then, you know, he's like changing your background, he's restricting what apps you can download or use, you know, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You said you want to make a phone call. Like, I'm cool with that. But what are you doing now? You know, this is, you're totally invading my privacy here. Like, you can be Justin Bieber. You could be the president. I'm not going to let you use my phone that way, right? So at this point, you might be wondering, okay, what does this have to do with being a follower of Jesus? What does this have to do? So a follower in the Bible, okay, it meant to be a disciple, right? So, you know, Elder Drake, he kind of figured it out, right? So back in the beginning, when I asked you guys, are you a Christian, disciple, or follower? You know, they're actually all the same thing, okay? They're actually all the same thing. So you've probably heard this word being thrown around before, disciple. You've probably heard that word before. It's a very churchy word. You probably don't hear it as much these days outside. You know, a disciple is someone who learns from the master. Okay, you learn from the master, and you want to be like the master one day. Okay, so you could be like a martial artist or something like that, and then you want to learn all the techniques and stuff like that. So you could be like the master one day, you could, or whatnot, and you could own your own dojo or something. You could be a disciple, you know, like a fisherman disciple. Okay, you could be like a blacksmith disciple. You could be like a potter disciple. You know, you could be a disciple like you're learning from the master, and you want to be like the master. Okay, in every single way. So Jesus, he came to make disciples. He came to make followers just like him, right? That would be just like him. And of all the people that he chose, in Luke, it says that he chose Simon. He chose Simon. Right? Along with his brother Andrew, okay? So Simon and his brother Andrew were there. And we know that James and John were also there. So, you know, like, this news may have been quite a shock, okay? And maybe not to you, but for the people back in those days, it would have been a huge shock, okay? Let me tell you why. Because they were fishermen, okay? They were fishermen. It basically means, like, they might have been turned away, okay? Turned down to continue, like, you know, like this further education to be, like, a teacher, or a scribe or something, a teacher of the law, or, you know, or a Pharisee or something like that. As a Hebrew boy, you know, they went through, they had to, like, memorize the Torah, right? They had to do all these things. But, you know, they probably weren't the brightest, okay? They probably weren't the cream of the crop. And because of that, they, you know, were probably told, hey, you know, go back and learn your family's trade. And the smartest ones, you know, the ones who had shown most potential, you know, they will continue onwards. Right? So these people, they're probably uneducated. I mean, they didn't receive further education, okay? And, you know, they're just fishing out there. All right, but Jesus, he came to these people, and these were the people that he chose to be his first followers, his first disciples. All right, so then Simon, he might have been, like, kind of, like, shocked, right? Like, he was planning on fishing for the rest of his life, right? And teaching his children to fish. So Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, you're not going to fish for fish, but you're going to fish for people. Meaning you're going to catch people. Meaning, this is a turning point in your life. From now on, things are going to be and things should be different. And how did they respond? How did they respond? Look at verse 11. It says, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Okay. They left everything and followed him. So if we look at Mark, right, this is kind of the parallel account. We know that some scholars say they would say that Mark was the earliest account, right? This is like source material for Luke. So we see that our story that we read today is pretty similar to this. This is, like, very summarized, okay? It's very summarized. Okay, so, right, there's James and John, right? And then they left and they followed Jesus, right? So they left everything behind and they followed Jesus. For some of us, this might seem kind of weird. Like, that's kind of irresponsible, you know? Isn't that disrespectful to your family? Right? You're like, you're working there with your dad, you know, you're cleaning the nets for the next day, and then you just drop everything and you leave. I mean, that's like, what did you just do, right? But this is a different time, a different culture, okay? So we can't use our time, you know, our lenses to read. We have to read through the lens of this time, right? And in this culture, it was a great honor to have a rabbi, a teacher, to you know, ask you to be his disciple, you know, in a sense. It was a great honor, right? Remember, like, these fishermen, they probably didn't show much potential, okay? They weren't chosen, but now they were chosen. So, I mean, their parents must have been really happy, you know? There's something to brag about now, right? They had nothing to brag about before, and now they have something to brag about. In addition, you know, Jesus, he was a popular teacher as well. So, Yeah, you follow Jesus, you go, right? So Simon and his buddies, they dropped everything and they followed Jesus. This is what a follower looks like, okay? This is who a follower looks like. It's someone who recognizes that they are sinful and they are so unworthy, that they are undeserving of Jesus. But then upon receiving his invitation to follow him, they leave everything behind and they go. That's a follower. This invitation is offered to every one of us. To every one of us. So, a Christian is a disciple, right? A disciple is a follower, you know, a follower is a Christian. It's all the same thing. When I was a freshman in college, I remember in my, I think it was my first year, first semester, I was asked by my church to join a discipleship group thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go. You know, I'm a Christian, I'll go. And then on the very first meeting that we had, they asked all of us, is a follower and is a disciple the same thing? Right. That kind of like what I asked you guys today. And I remember sitting there and I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, disciple sounds kind of like intense, right? It has like more expectations or more like commitment or something like that, you know. I'm just a Christian. I don't even know if I would say I'm a follower. You know, I'm just a Christian. Right? And I felt like, disciples and followers, they're like people who pray more, who always ask God what to do, or, they always do the right thing or something like that. You know, they're usually like older people, like the people that I respect who are like older and they're just like, they seem really holy or something like that. Like, I thought like, that's like a disciple. I'm just a Christian, you know? Right. And I think many Christians, they think the same way. You know, there's like the lowest level is Christian, right? And then there's like a higher level, which is disciple. Right, and then you get like the highest level, which is like a super disciple or something like that, where only like 1 in 1,000 exist or something like that, you know? But the thing is that Jesus, he never differentiates between all these things. He never differentiates. Because they're the same thing. They're the same thing. So you might have the Christian who says, you know, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm so unworthy. Save me, rescue me from my sin. But then there's somehow a disconnect between that and then, you know, then dropping everything and going to follow Jesus. Like you say, yes, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, right? That's the good part. But then, like, you don't really like the, now I got to give up this. Now I can't do this. Now I can't go there, whatever, you know? And there's all these restrictions. Don't do this. And you're like, well, I'm not really about that. So, like, as a follower, you have this new identity. Okay, you have this new identity now. You know, you're no longer all about yourself, right? Building your kingdom, doing what pleases you, what you want to do. But now you're a disciple of someone else, right? You're trying to be like them, right? That's what it's supposed to be like. Or, you know, okay, let's think about it another way. Perhaps you've heard about Jesus, and you thought, you know, that's good. But that's not really what I want right now. That's not really what I want. You know, I would encourage you, you know, through our messages, to continue to come and to continue to listen. Because I know that, you know, for a lot of us, we think about, you know, trade-offs, right? We think about like things that we gain or lose and things like that. And Maybe right now Jesus is just not that awesome to you. Okay? It's not that awesome to you. Enough for you to want to drop everything, right? Give up your way of life, what you're living for, to follow Jesus. So I'll continue to come, to continue to think through this, because I think this is like the most important decision in your life. Okay? The most important decision. Right? So Simon and his buddies, right, they made the biggest catch in their lives. Nets were breaking, boats were sinking. Okay, it was crazy. You know, they could have made a lot of money, but they were able to see past, you know, this catch to the person who made it possible. Okay? To the person who made it possible. Right. So, for you, right, I want you to think about, you know, is Jesus worth following? Is Jesus worth following? Right. Even if that means allowing Jesus, you know, to use your boat however he pleases, right? Even if it means, you know, allowing him to tell you how you should live, how to do your job, right? How your relationships are supposed to be like, how you're supposed to interact with your family, your parents, or your kids, with your coworkers, with your spouse. Right? It means allowing Jesus into your private life, right? Where we usually tell people not to meddle with. I think for many people, you know, church is usually the extent to which they follow Jesus. They say, you know, Jesus, save me, I'm a sinner, I'll come to church now. And that's about it. You know, they spend 3 hours here, and then they go back home, and then for the rest of the week, it's pretty much what they want to do, and then they come back for another 3 hours, and then, yeah, Jesus, this is the extent that I'm willing to follow you, you know? But I can't imagine that this is the type of disciple, this is the type of follower that Jesus was making. I can't imagine that being the case. You know, perhaps you are a disciple, a Christian, okay, you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and you understand what it means for your life, okay? You understand that it's good for your life, that it's the best thing in the world is to follow Jesus. But, you know, there are some areas in your life in which you've told Jesus to give you some space. Right? You know, just kind of back off. I don't want you to touch this. Right? This is my thing. It could be anything almost. Okay? It could be the way you spend your money. Right? I know, right, a week and a half ago, it was Thanksgiving, right? And then right after Thanksgiving, it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday, right? It's all about spending and all these ads making you feel like, you know, what you have is inadequate. You know, it's so last year now. It's out of date. And I got to get something new now, you know? Like, it just makes you feel, like, dissatisfied. Right? Even though, you know, the day right before was Thanksgiving, right? Like, thank you, God, for everything I have. So it could be that way. It could be the way you spend your money, right? I know this isn't applied to everyone because some of you guys may have been actually waiting for a good deal and you needed something, right? The important word is needed, right? Versus wanted. So if you're willing to like say like I want this, I'm going to spend all this money for this, then are you willing to give to the poor? Right? Are you willing to sacrifice something for someone else who needs something? Right? Blessing someone else. Right? Are you willing to do that? Right? So go support missions or something like that. Right? Could it be an area of your relationships? Maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship. Right? You're crossing boundaries, you know, but you kind of like it, and you know, like it feels good to you, but you know, like, hey, it's probably wrong. But you know, God, don't meddle in this. Right? This is my part of this is the part of life where I don't want you to touch. You can touch this areas, but don't touch this part, right? And could it be the way you spend your time? Your time is something that everyone has an equal amount of, right? We all have 24 hours. Sometimes we might feel like we have less. You know, there's just so many things to do, right? But so many ways to be distracted, so many ways to waste time. Like, how are you using your time? And then we make excuses. We say, oh, if only I had one more hour, two more hours, then I could read my Bible. Oh, then I could. Then if I had one more hour, then I wouldn't have to skip church, right? If I had one more hour, then I could have gone to fellowship or something like that. Right? I think a lot of us have been coming to church long enough to know what we should do. But the hard part is actually doing it. What did you say? Hard part is actually doing it. We know what we should do. Yeah. You know, I should have done that. Yeah, next time. Next time. Yeah. But, like, what's your plan of action, right? If you don't have a plan of action, you're going to fail. You're going to fail, right? So, I want you to take a moment right now. I know we're running out of time. Take a moment and think about area of your life in which you know that you're telling God not to be a part of. That you're telling God that you are not Lord of this life, of this part of my life. That you are not master in this life. Right? It doesn't have to be, you know, really long. It could be really short. But just think about that, okay? And then in Sunday school, if you could take like 5 minutes and just think about a plan of action. It could be really quick. It could be just 5 minutes to write and make a plan of action, okay? It could be. It could be like, man, I'm wasting so much time that I could be using else somewhere, you know, that I could be spending time with people, building relationships with fellowships. I could be reading your scripture. You know, I could be, you know, doing something so much better. Let me just, you know, put my phone, give my phone to my parents or something for an hour or something like that. And let me just do my work. It could be something as simple as that, okay? So, we're almost done. There's one more thing I want to add to this, though. One more thing. About what it means to follow Jesus. Right? Notice that Jesus says, Simon, don't be afraid. Right? From now on, you're going to catch people, right? Men. And this is something that's really important that you should know as a follower. This tells us something about what followers are supposed to do. Jesus, he was in the business of people, right? Jesus, he came to save people. Jesus came to rescue people, to die for people, to sacrifice himself for people. Jesus, he came to share the gospel, the good news with people. Right? He went around preaching and teaching in the synagogues, in the hillsides, in the mountaintops, by the sea, shore, anywhere. To tell people about the kingdom of God, this good news. And this is what Simon was also supposed to do as a follower. And this is what we need to be doing as well. You know, as a follower, we're also supposed to be, in a sense, catching people. Right? This word that they use is actually meaning catching alive. Right? Catching alive. We're supposed to be catching people. We're supposed to be bringing people into God's kingdom, to be a part of what Jesus is about. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm supposed to be making followers. Right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're supposed to be making followers. I know this might seem kind of like overwhelming. You're like, oh, where do I start? Well, what do I do? How does that look like? Right? I'm glad if you're thinking that way, because I hope that's something that we could start at our church. I know I'm already starting it with, you know, two of our youth. I wanted to do it with more youth. And hopefully the idea is that these youth can also do that with other youth, other people. Right? That's the idea. And adults as well. You know, Elder and Jerry and I, we've been thinking through how to do English ministry at this church. And we're trying to rework some things. So it's something that, you know, that could really include more adults, something that we can serve, so a way in which we can serve you. Right? So, you know, be on the lookout for those information. So, last thing I just want to say is this. One of the worst feelings is making a commitment to something and then realizing that it's not what you signed up for. Making a commitment to something and it's realizing that it's not something that you wanted to do. So I listened to this podcast last week. It was about product testing. And there's this guy, he signed up to do wine tasting or like food tasting. And he would show up and then all they would ask him was like, hey, what do you think about our brand logo? You know? And then he's like, what? Like, I came here to taste wine. I came here to eat some food. Like, And now you're asking me just about a logo? He was so disappointed, right? He wished that someone would have told him that, okay, a little more in detail about what he was actually signing up for, right? So I don't want you guys to be disappointed. I want you guys to know what you're signing up for, what it means to be a follower, what it looks like to be a follower, so that 10 years down the road, you guys aren't like, well, you know, Pastor Phil never told me or something like that. Right? I'm telling you right now. So I want you to come and see. I invite you to come and see, right, who this Jesus is. What did he come to do? What does it look like to be his follower? Okay. And if it's your desire to follow him, then let's show you how. Let's show you how it's done. So at this point in time, just want to transition to communion. We're running out of time, so we may need to do this really fast. But communion, you know, it's a time where we gather together and we remember the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. How he lived a perfect life for you. He died on the cross for you. He was raised from death into life so that we could have eternal life, that we could be saved. On the cross, you know, his body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. We have, you know, some crackers and grape juice. It's nothing magical. Okay, we probably bought it from like Safeway or something, but it's just a symbol. And as we take it, we remember with gratitude and thanksgiving what Jesus did for us. So take a moment to just reflect upon your life. Are there areas, you know, in your life in which you need to allow Jesus to come in, to be Lord? Are there areas in your life in which you know you've been sinning, right, and that you need to take an action to change? And we can do that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, who enables us, who empowers us to do so, to live a holy life.